so big bar.
Sunseeker welcome to our host for the day, Alexandra Ligwe.
I think that was my warm-up music, wasn't it? Please give another very, very warm thank you to Jetpack. Hello everybody, welcome once again to the London Boat Show. Can you believe it's 2017? Happy New Year, I hope you had a fantastic Christmas season. Here we are, once again, on a absolutely beautiful, incredible Sunseeker stand, which just keeps outdoing itself year after year. Sunseeker have had a fantastic year. 2016 was a mind-blowing success. And who better to tell us more about it than Sunseeker's CEO, Mr. Phil Popham. Warning about what our walk-on music was, because you totally could have come on backwards.
I could have worked on my steps, couldn't
I? Phil, it's a pleasure to speak to you once again. Every year that I speak to you, I feel like there's more things to be excited by the success of what Sunseeker have been up to. Can you give us some highlights of 2016?
It was a great year last year. We launched 5 all new products. We've got some more here today. We grew our sales. We invested a lot of money in our facilities, in our products, and we recruited over 200 people down in the pool during the course of last year as well. So it was a pretty pivotal year for us, 2016.
You also had record sales, I believe, at the Southampton Boat Show.
We did the whole of the autumn show season at £95 million worth of sales. As we stand here today, well, on the 31st of December, over 40% up in terms of order bank for this year compared to a year ago. So we're going to have an exciting year again.
And presumably you assume that London will top that?
It always does. So that's why we're here in force with a great range of products on the stand.
And not only that, but you also won the British Luxury Award. Congratulations.
We did. First outing with Warpop. It was great to actually get an award. It's something that wasn't related to the industry, but being renowned for being a luxury manufacturer in Britain.
So you mentioned the models that you have launching this year. We've got 2 here. Can you tell us a little bit more about them? I know that following the success of the Manhattan 52, we have the Manhattan 66. Tell us about the key features.
It's larger sibling here, the Manhattan 66, and it is really phenomenal boat. It's got a lot of features you'd expect to be on a larger yacht. Incredible use of space, especially when you get into the master cabin. It's actually got its own stairway, the beach club at the back. Please get on board and see how our designers, our engineers have made such a fantastic use of the space.
And it definitely does feel a lot larger, doesn't it, once you're on it? And obviously Sunseeker is known for their impeccable charm and style, but it's also a great entertainment boat, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the outside and internals area, it really is a leisure boat.
Not only that, but we have the 68 Predator Sports Yacht. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we launched the 68 Predator Mark II last year, and then the sports yacht sibling is there on the stand as well, which is means we've got a really strong lineup, including the largest boat at the show this year, the 95 yacht that we launched last year.
Very, very exciting. So last year we had the delectable Hugh Bonneville with us. This year I feel like we've got someone very, very exciting, having an absolutely fabulous guest. Who have we got?
The lovely Joanna Lumley.
Don't know about you, but I'm very excited about that. Now, Joanna is obviously a wonderful name to have linked with Sunseeker, but not only that, you formed a partnership with a charity that she is a very big campaigner for, and that is Macmillan. Can you tell us more about that link?
That's our adopted partner in Britain. We're raising money for Macmillan in various activities, already raised £50,000, and Joanne's done a lot of work with the Macmillan Trust as well. And to have it's always good to have Joanna here as well, and obviously, really, anyone seen the AbFab movie will have seen a Honor Sunseeker, and to be associated with a favoured charity as well, so it's great to have one.
I have no doubt as well that having a link with Sunseeker will help Macmillan reach more sufferers and help more sufferers in the long run. Phil, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before we introduce Joanna, let's have Jetpack back on stage for one more song. Thank you.
Sensitive here, but surely launching the Sunseeker brand with a Now the End is Near is not necessarily the best sort of tune to select.
No, and also you've got Jana Lumley coming on. It doesn't bode well for her either, does it? No, I'm looking forward to seeing her. She's a much better connection for me.
What I had to do.
A completely sensational boat. It had sailed round, I think, from Monte Carlo that day, and was going back there to sleep that night. We begged not to, but anyway, that's it. We were just in ecstasies, and I couldn't have loved it more. The crew were very hard to take off it because they all felt that they had a sort of sense of ownership. So it was wonderful.
So if we see you lifting the boats, that's totally normal, isn't it?
I advise everybody to lick the boats.
Now, when we had a little chat before, you were telling us that you obviously haven't just spent time on the sunset, but you've got quite a history in the world of boats, haven't you? Tell us more.
When I was a child, because I'm an army brat, my father is of the Gurkhas, and I was born in India, we travelled in those days by ship. And so when we went out to the Far East, it took about 3.5 weeks to Bombay, it took 4 weeks to Singapore, and it took about 5 weeks to get round to Hong Kong. And the ships that we were on were tubs. They weren't like the cruisers that you would go on today. You washed always in hot salt water and rinsed off in clear water. You had soup which worked with salt water. The ships have been, one of them we travelled on, had been requisitioned from the German Navy, and so the taps were marked Heiss and Kalt. There were no deck sports at all except quoits. Every day we were given an orange in case we got scurvy, I promise. We used to just lean on the decks, eat the oranges, and look out over the into the sea, crossing the Indian Ocean. You could smell land before you arrived. I can remember smelling Ceylon, as it was called in those days, because these spice islands smell of flowers and spices. Quite sensational. And so I felt I'd kind of crossed, by the time I was 8, I'd done, months at sea. So I'm a sea baby. And I love yachts.
Now, the ethos of Sunseeker is seek more, isn't it? And I think that Joanna very much encompasses that ethos of Sunseeker.
She does, because with her travel and everything she's done, and the holiday programs, I mean, she does encompass everything we do. So it's really...
because I think part of the whole world was settled by men on boats. That's the truth of it. And these are the bravest men, the most extraordinary people sailing out into the complete unknown. I think we all have in us an affinity with the sea, from fishing, but from exploration first and foremost. And although I haven't yet got a boat of my own, I feel that everyone who gets onto a boat has got a spirit of adventure coming.
True, very true, yes. No, I think it's very true, and I think that's what encompasses the marine business. It's adventure, and that's what families and everybody do. They encompass, you know, spirit.
Joanna, you always have lots of exciting adventures up your sleeve. No doubt you have more this year. Can you let us know what's next for you?
I had the great pleasure of being in Japan last year and making 3 episodes there. This year, I'm going to India, which is in fact where I was born. But 3 programmes is not really enough to do anything more than take snapshots of this quite fabulously complex, brilliant and ravishing country with whom we've been in love ever since mine first stepped foot in India. India has been the source of so much. So I hope to have some programmes ready for you which will enchant you. I don't know how much of it will be on the water, a little bit of it.
Good. That'd be nice, Joanna. Very nice.
I think now is probably about the right time. Would you please do the honours of cutting the ribbon?
I would be thrilled.
And open it for Sunseeker to stand.
I'm going to put down my microphone. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to hurt my microphone, otherwise I become worthless. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the greatest pleasure in declaring this Sunseeker stand at the London Boat Show 2017.
Brilliant. Well done. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you very, very much, everybody. Have a fantastic week. Thank you for joining us here on the Sunseeker stand, and enjoy the London Boat Show 2017.
Well, there we are, Ed. It's been officially opened. I think Joanna Lumley did some good stuff there. I'm not sure about the Chief Executive Officer.
No, I think he encompassed a number of things. I'm not sure he quite encompassed the fun of the moment, perhaps.
Well, he's a serious Chief Executive Officer. Graham, what did you make of the official launch?
I'd like to have had a bit more of...
Joanna Lumley.
Joanna Lumley, thank you. And less of the... hey, listen, they're selling Sunseekers. It's great.
And Bernadette?
Sorry, what was your question?
Thoughts on the official opening ceremony?
Oh, it was fun. It was great fun. It attracted a lot of people, and I think Joanna was very good, actually.
Absolutely. Thumbs up. We definitely haven't dropped her from the Midweek Drive team.
No way, you shouldn't. She's brilliant.
Gemma, you have summoned us back to the press room, and we're very excited. Why?
We've got the Chief Officer of the London Boat Show here. This is Murray Ellis. He knows everything there is to know about the London Boat Show.
So. The legendary Murray Ellis. Murray, it's a genuine privilege to touch base with your good self, and congratulations on another superlative event.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great team event, and the show, I admit, looks brilliant.
We've already enjoyed the official Sunseeker opening. I wasn't quite sure about going in with "And Now the End Is Near" and "My Way," but you know, it's a way forward. It kept the band interested.
It certainly was. Like I says, it's Haste for Everyone, which is very much the epitome of the boat show. There's something there for everyone.
Graham,
what amazed me is how you got everything, especially the big Sunseeker. Did you have difficulty in planning and making sure you had enough space for all of the stalls, because it's extraordinary?
It is a logistical. Boat shows are very much a logistical challenge, in as much as like there's over 300 exhibitors, and you're quite right, is that our job is then to facilitate of making sure that those exhibitors come in on the right day. Lifting all the boats in is a wonderful challenge, and it's literally, some of the boats are too big, so they come by water. We use a 500-ton crane to lift the boats out of the water. They go on special transporters. We then bring them in the halls. They get then lifted off by using four cranes and put on then onto cradles or that are provided by the exhibitors, and then put in position. So yes, it's very much a very precision. So literally each lift is down to almost like a period of a morning, and then each day. So we start, there's 8 days lifting. So we 8 days where we're lifting all the boats into position. And obviously then our other exhibitors who don't require lifting come in. But yeah, that's the wonder of boat show. And that's what I always love, because when you see what you've just seen, and for other viewers and other listeners, when they come to the show, they go, wow, how the hell did you get that boat there? So there you go.
The other thing is, you've got a massive big area of water, which that's important to a boat show, I'm sure. And there's this fantastic area of water. How'd you fit that in?
We're very, very good at British Marine Boat Shows of building attractions, and so the pools we've got are very much very important, as much as creating what effectively is an exhibition space, which is quite blank, but we've got to make it as exciting as possible for the visitor. So the pools are very important. One is it gives a bit of a theatre to it, but also it means that the visitors can actually have a go, particularly our younger generation. So that's why we do it participational, educational, and somewhere where you wouldn't expect to come to an exhibition hall and then be able to actually get around the water.
How long does it physically take you to set this up? When did you start taking over this building and putting all the boats in?
12 days. So build up is...
So that's 12 days of Christmas, obviously.
Yeah, 12 days. So we stop for Christmas, and then we have a break for Christmas, and then we come back in the New Year. So build up is 12 days long, 10-day show, and then we've got 5 days to take it all out again. So it's a challenge. But it's the culmination of a year, literally. Once this show finishes, we will start planning next year, and I've got a fantastic team behind me, and as somebody says, they make me look good. A lot of hard work, a lot of imagination, a lot of professionalism to literally put on a show that we do.
That's brilliant.
Ed, so what we're seeing now is a really nicely polished, finished product that you're really, really proud of. How do you sort of take on year by year what people are saying to you about any improvements and things like that they might want to see? Because, I mean, the show must develop year on year.
It is, and it's quite, that isn't a challenge, because we've got two sets of customers. Our one set of customers are our exhibitors, and obviously our other customers are visitors. Now, in both areas, so for exhibitors, it's our job to ensure that we're going to provide the right platform for them to sell there, whether they're trying to sell a sailboat or a powerboat or a sailing course. As you've seen, there's everything there for everyone's pocket or a choice. And it's our job, quite rightly, we have to keep improving. One of the things that we do, so we will do research and talk to our exhibitors and talk to our visitors to see you know, what was good and what they would like to see us improve. One of the things the show's got to do, those have got to keep evolving with the market. So the marine market has changed probably a lot over, well, certainly changed a lot over the last 10 years, but even annually, the exhibitors or the visitors who are then effectively the customers to the exhibitors, they've got certain demands. So the exhibitors then say, well, we need the show to be looking like this or developing or delivering these sort of customers. So one of the challenges are, is a very huge broad sector of product in there. And each of our exhibitors, whether they're in the engine sector or sell, they want their particular set of customers. So from us, we're trying to match, market the show to get the right sort of visitors in the right quantities for our exhibitors who can say, yeah, this is a good show, because we're seeing the right people, and vice versa. Visitors want to see the product, and they see, and I classify the show as a product, they want to see as many boats as possible, lots of engaging activities, people interestingly to talk to. So when they go home, they say, do you know what, that was a cracking day out and we're going to go again.
Absolutely, and I know that Ed and myself are still talking fondly about last year when we actually went with Mike Ensor through the magical water fountain curtain.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's a little bit of drama. Like I said, we had the rain curtain, and this is just something, you know, trying to keep. And it's when you look on our website and you look to see, trying to engage someone to buy a ticket, which what we do, is instead of coming to the show and you just walk through the door, we try to give the visitor something a little bit different. So I'm not going to give away what we're doing at this year's show, but it's not a rain curtain, but it's something a little bit different just to add to that theatre before people go and see the show.
And finally, Bernadette?
You mentioned 300 exhibitors.
Yep.
How many are boat builders?
How many exhibitors do you have who are boat builders?
I haven't got the, I would say there's probably around about, it's about 40%. I would think 40% of our exhibitors here are boat builders or they're boat dealers. So they're a boat exhibitor. And that's literally, the range of that will be somebody selling sort of kayaks for a few hundred pounds and then through to selling
Sunseekers
or Princess, where you're running into millions. And obviously within that, you've got all sorts of shapes and sizes, so UK models, foreign models, and also sail as well. So there's power and sail, we mustn't forget, you know, that. So they're the glamorous, but we also, you know, the great thing about London is the other half of the exhibitors, or the other 60%, who just are the... whatever else wants to see, whether it's, you know, they can come and talk to the person who's manufactured the engine or gain advice. And that's the one thing, you come to a show and you can just talk to everyone that's involved, and, you know, whether it's a publication. So it's all the support as well. So I've always said, if you're in boating, then why wouldn't you come in January to the start of the season, think about this year? Or secondly, if you're thinking about getting into boating as a family, as a couple, as a few friends, then come here and you can find out, right, is it something we're going to do? How are we going to get into it? Do we want power or sail? Well, let's go and talk to some people who can guide us.
Well, this has been tremendous touching base with your good self today. Just a couple of sort of final things. We had a little challenge earlier with Bernadette and the wonderful Gemma about the cost of something. Now, you may know the answer to this or you may not. What was the question, Bernadette? It was one of the aspects which we were there. We were sort of just a bit concerned about what the actual standard would actually be. So
we tried to guess the price of this.
Dad's boats. Yeah,
this
is lovely.
Without an engine. And I think Bernadette thought four.
I thought, at first I thought 253, and then I thought probably no more than 5,000.
Right. I thought about 24 and a half because of the nice upholstery, you see. It's a lovely touch.
Yeah, it's a beautiful... In truth, I couldn't tell you how much there is.
Oh, you'll find out.
No, I don't know, but I would suggest you go along to Dad's boats and have a look at them.
Congratulations once again on a fantastic show. One of these days we're going to have to do Southampton as well. It's been on our list of things to do. We've never quite got down there, but hopefully 2017 we might just do that.
You are more than welcome. And again, that is a show completely different. One, the obvious that it's outdoors, but one that we're extremely proud of and very important for British Marine.
And with the last strains of What a Wonderful World in the background, Bernadette, you've brought us where now?
We are next to Dad's Boats Company. And we are looking at a boat with pedals in
exactly.
the middle.
It's extraordinary.
Activating, what did you say? Propeller.
Propeller, yeah. So, Dad's boats, unlike Dad's army, this will work in all sorts of ways, but share with us, we're about to speak now to
Stephen Pitkethley.
Steve, talk to us about what you've got here, because it does look as though people could be very confused, thinking, but I wanted a bicycle, not a boat.
Well, the first thing to point out, I think, is the name, Dad's Boats. It's not a boat for dads, it's a boat designed by a dad. My wife's father came up with this idea in the 1960s. And you have two people sitting facing each other, but both pedaling naturally as they would, away from themselves. The gearbox drives a propeller, and the person facing the pointy end steers with an upright tiller.
I've often been told that I should always face the pointy end, but from your own point of view, Graham, any thoughts on, I mean, that when you were back in the day when you were directing Howard's Way, did you ever consider Dad's Boats?
No. This is too much like hard work for me, pal.
Maybe prove to you it's not.
So it sounds like a challenge here. Ah, he's got his magical device out here. So this is what we're going to see in terms of Dad's Boats at work, really. So share with us, what do we do?
Well, we've got some video clips of us here mucking about up in Norfolk where we build these. They're all handmade in the UK. We've got a clip here of my wife and daughter just gently turning the pedals over, but you still make a good progress of walking pace quite comfortably. And then in the next clip, these can all be found online. I'm filming from a boat and we're doing 3 knots in my boat. My son and a friend can keep up with that quite happily, but if you want to go quicker, you just pedal harder and off you go.
Ed.
Steve, we've been eyeing up your boats in the catalogue during the day. In fact, it was the first one that caught our eye this morning when we arrived.
And we've asked so many people. We've asked the show director. We've asked our colleagues from on broadcast.
We had a bit of a sort of a guessing game as to the price tag on this one. Given it's got a lovely finish and it's presumably built by your hands.
It's handmade in Norfolk, yes.
And but it doesn't have an engine, you see. So this is what we all sort of juggle in our minds as to what would be the price. And
let's run through our details again. And Steve, you can actually say who was closest to the correct figure. So Ed, you came in with...
Well, I came in at slightly too high, I think, at £24,000.
Okay. Bernadette?
I thought no more than £5,000.
Graham?
You're going to hate me, but I thought £2,750.
And I think, if memory serves, Gemma was somewhere around the 10,000?
Gemma was around the 10,000,
okay.
Yes.
So, and the show director was unwilling to actually be drawn on the sort of topic. So, who was closest?
The closest is what I would assume is the youngest member of the team, who perhaps is more in tune with modern pricing than...
Bernadette is from France, of course. There's a different... I mean, you've got euros.
I am not the youngest.
That gentleman.
Indeed.
No, not 24. Oh. Who did you say was around about the 10? That one.
Gemma. Gemma, who is probably...
She would be, yes. And she's from Australia. So there we are.
Great. Okay. That's good.
I'm amazed.
But great stuff. So you mentioned online. How can people find you online?
We are at www.dadsboats.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social media channels.
And given that, obviously, Lincoln is not too far away from Norfolk, we should really come along and actually do a location report with you.
Absolutely. Come and have a go. There's nothing like trying it out. People think it's hard work, but it's not.
The question I'd like to ask is, this, to me, will go wrong somewhere. You'll need to repair this, maybe, 10 years' time, 5 years. Who would do the repair of the chains, for example?
I've been peddling versions of this boat for 35 years. I've never had a chain come off. I've never needed to replace a chain. I've never had a pedal slip or come off because you're working at such low revs and it's so gentle compared to what this machinery is used to doing. There's not a lot that goes wrong. But if the chain did come off, you just put it back on like a bicycle. If you needed to tension it, we've got a clever little way of taking some washers out from underneath the gearbox, which will help tension the chain again if it stretches a bit. But really, it's a very simple mechanism and very, very low maintenance.
So there we are. Of course, Graham was keen to actually blow up a Sunseeker boat. I put it down to his directing of Doctor Who.
This is too valuable. This is more interesting, yeah.
Excellent. And a final plug for the web address. It is once again...
www.dadsboats.com.
So the London Boat Show continues with its glory and celebration and so on, much like the English rugby team. And when you've got the legend that is Phil Vickery, MBE, with you, sensational. Phil, connecting rugby with the water, surely a recipe for potential disaster.
Well, but you would normally say that, but I think when it's in a controlled environment with some people who know what they're doing, I think we're in for a real treat. No, listen, I think, you know, I'm very privileged to be part of Wooden Spoon and lead ambassador, and for those of people who know about Wooden Spoon, we know the great work that they do. And I couldn't think of a better partnership than the team at Sunsail. Getting out on the water, having some fun, racing, enjoying, you know, I'm lucky I grew up beside the coast, up in North Cornwall. Sailing wasn't my thing. We went fishing a lot. We went out with Dad. We went on the boats. We were mackerelling. But I just think there's something beautiful about being on the water. And also the same values. You know, rugby's got such tremendous values. And you talk about family and togetherness, honour, integrity. And when you walk around here and the people I've met and the way Sunsail have certainly been with me, although very different, actually very similar. You know, it is about teamwork, it is about working in partnerships.
Also the Eddie Jones impact coming across here. You could actually be just sailing what Eddie Jones is to the current English football, English
well,
rugby team.
Of course, but you know, the great thing about English rugby at the moment is, you know,
it's looking healthy.
There's so many positive things. You know, just over a year ago, we'd be here talking about, right, the Rugby World Cup, everything's terrible, it's all rubbish. You know, Stuart Lancaster did so many brilliant things and nuked this, that team, you know, which he built. The great thing about Eddie Jones coming in is, you know, it brings a little different edge. You know, a bit crazy, which is good, sometimes does things slightly differently, and suddenly we're stood here, Grand Slam champions, summer tour, unbeaten, did all the Autumn Internationals, and it's kind of Lions next year. You know, what a fantastic, you know, so I'm so pleased, not just for the England boys, but for the game in general, because I truly believe the game of rugby is not about just having a strong Ireland, a strong Wales, Scotland, England. It's about having a strong home nations, and the more England can push Ireland, the more Ireland can push England, and Wales can push, the better we will become, and the better we'll be able to compete with the rest of the world.
Phil, you spoke about inspiration. I now know who should be in charge of the Brexit negotiations. It should be you, basically. It's Phil Vickery, MBE, and indeed Brexit organiser. Let's get briefly back on message. The Wooden Spoon event, etc. How can people actually support it and get involved with the whole thing?
It's the 28th of September. Go onto the Wooden Spoon website, it'll be easiest, or you can track it down through Sunsail. Don't ask me about prizes and bits and pieces, I'm not sure. We'll have an absolute ball.
Having wrapped with Phil Vickery, we successfully managed to share a few thoughts with the legend. Didn't quite manage to do a piece with Helena, who was also there, Helena Lucas. Possibly we'll follow through with that. And nor, Ed, I'm afraid, have we managed to connect with the Lincoln chap and the Lincoln boat people either.
Well, we may try on the way out, I think.
No, I don't think so.
Have you had enough?
It's not so much a case of having enough. It's just a case of, I think, we've reached a peak, and after Phil Vickery, you think our life is not worth, you know, carrying on from this point of view. Thank you, Graham. Graham, have you had a reasonably interesting series of interviews on this, your latest Southside Broadcasting Midweek Drive location report?
Yeah, I found it very, very interesting. Extraordinary venue to put the boat show on, and even though it's a very big venue, it must have been, as we found out, quite a difficult thing to set up.
An exercise in logistics, a bit like one of your outside broadcasting catering units when you're sort of doing stuff for the whole thing.
No, not quite as good as that.
Quite right. Bernadette, have you enjoyed your latest experience?
I've enjoyed it, but I am now on my knees. But I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
We're going to go back in and have a look inside some boats.
Yes, we're going to try to do that.
You are going to actually take those shoes off and actually step inside the Sunsail. So you should. It's a worthwhile experience, almost transcendental in form.
Well, we'll see. We'll see about transcendental.
We'll just go and look.
Okay. And Ed, your thoughts on your final boat show, or at least latest boat show, I should say?
I would just say that I enjoyed it thoroughly and hugely more than 2 years ago or last year, whenever it was I was here. I just really felt that I kind of knew a little bit more to get myself started with it this time. And it was very, very big last time, and I sort of felt as if I'd got an idea of the layout before I started. It was very, very interesting.
As we always say, the more you do, the more experience you become at the whole thing.
I have to say, I thought the pedal boat, which I thought was... I didn't understand why you both wanted to go and check it out for its price and whatever... was actually really, really interesting, and I'm thinking that is actually a really, really nice boat for the kind of money they want to spend. yeah, in charge.
Yes, and also interesting. You know what I find also interesting is technically the person, the A person and B person are facing each other and they are pedaling in the same, each one in front of them, but they are doing only one way.
No, I think
so
a lot of passing by each other goes on.
Technically, there's something there which is interesting, I think.
Possibly, you see, it's an accessory for your living room. Could you not imagine yourself sitting opposite Graham of an evening, just pedalling away? You don't necessarily have to put it in water, do you?
In the living room, no. On water, yes.
So there we have it.
I do think there's a lot of passing by each other in the night. Ships sail past.
On that wonderful bombshell quote, we say farewell, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, gute Nacht from the first day of the 2017 London Boat Show.